time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough joins us now. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So what are we discussing this week?
Well, listeners may recall previous episodes of Abandoned Manitoba over the past 2 months where we have looked at towns around Manitoba that have an especially high proportion of historic buildings based on a ranked list that I compiled. So today we're considering number one on that list, Balder.
Okay, so refresh my memory, Gordon. How did you prepare your list?
Well, I tallied all the buildings in a particular town that the Manitoba Historical Society had included in its online database of historic structures, and I divided this number by the town's population. My thinking was that a small town would have fewer buildings than a larger one. My list has statistics for 122 communities, with Balder at the number one position. The number two position, by the way, belongs to Bertel, and number three is Oak Lake.
And how close were those top three, just out of interest?
Pretty close, actually.
Really?
Yeah, but there was a three at the top, and then there was a bit of a gap, and then there was a whole bunch more below that.
Now, how many historically significant buildings does Balder have?
Well, at least eight. And I say at least because there's probably ones that we just haven't considered yet. And I realize this doesn't seem like a very large number, you know, at least relative to some other towns, but I emphasize, my calculations were based on the size of the community. Well, in terms of size, Balder's population in the 2021 census was 297 people. 10 years earlier, in 2011, it had 337 people. This means that Balder has declined by 12% in a decade. It is, I fear, a small town that is suffering the effects of rural depopulation.
Now, what are Balder's architectural gems?
Well, I'll describe them in chronological order, starting with the oldest one. That would be the Fowler House. Built in 1897, this two-story brick residence was first occupied by businessman William Fowler. In addition to being home to the Fowler family, at various times it housed the Balder Post Office, a bicycle shop, a school classroom, a hall for local oddfellows, and a bakery. It was a busy place. Three generations of Fowlers lived in the house, and in 2000, it received official designation as a municipally significant building.
Yeah, I am impressed by how multifaceted that building was. What's next?
Well, the second oldest building on our list is St. Mark's Anglican Church, built in 1898. This brick building has not been used for church services in quite a while. It's nicely preserved inside, though, and my source at Balder tells me that this attractive little church and its surroundings are used periodically as a backdrop for wedding and grad photos.
Oh, nice. And what's at number three?
Well, also connected to the Fowler family is the Fowler Block from 1899. It's a two-story brick building constructed for harness and saddlery merchant Alexander Fowler. He's a son of William Fowler. His business occupied the western part of the building, and the eastern part was a general store. The block remained in the Fowler family until 1978, so quite a long time. Today, the entire main floor is occupied by a grocery store operated by the Johnson family, who also published the community's weekly newspaper, the Balder Glenborough Gazette, and it began publishing in 1898, around the same time is the Fowler Block itself. And like the Fowler House, the Fowler Block is also municipally designated.
So that brings us to number four on their list.
That's right. And that would be another church, the Balder United Church, an impressive brick building from 1904. It was originally a Methodist church, but, you know, one might be excused for thinking otherwise based on a stone that is embedded in one of its exterior walls. That stone declares it to be a Presbyterian church from 1900, so none of the facts kind of line up. The two churches, Methodist and Presbyterian, merged to form a united church in 1925, and the former Presbyterian church was demolished. I suspect that the inclusion of that Presbyterian date stone into the United Church was a visual symbol of that unification. The interior of the church, well, you know, it has much of its original millwork, including some absolutely beautiful curved wooden pews. The building is still used for occasional services, not on a weekly basis, and more so in the summertime. It's also, I'm told, used as a venue for secondhand sales and things like that. In 1996, the church was designated as a municipally significant building. And by the way, number five on our list is also a church.
So that means Balder has three churches?
Well, in fact, there are five churches in Balder. But as we've noted, not all of them are active on a weekly basis. Number five on our list is the Emmanuel Lutheran Church, dating from 1907. In fact, it's located across the street from the aforementioned Anglican Church. It, too, is no longer in use as a church, but I'm told it's owned by someone who uses part of the sanctuary as a residence. The declining fortunes of Balder churches is, I think, a sign of the state of organized religions generally and churches in small towns specifically.
So that's five out of the eight, which means we have three more heritage buildings.
Right. And our next gem is the Pool Building, a two-story brick building constructed in 1910 for hardware merchant Thomas Poole. Today, it's home to a fitness center and the community museum, the Argyle Museum. It, too, is a municipally designated historic structure, and it stands right next door to our seventh building. That would be the former Lee's Food Mart. The building was constructed in 1924 by Chinese immigrant Lee Foon. Mr. Lee arrived in Balder in 1916, and he bought an existing restaurant business. He replaced the original building with this one, where he sold groceries in the front and had a cafe and ice cream shop in the back, with a residence for his family on the second floor. After Lee Foon retired in 1959, the business was operated by his two sons, the last of whom closed it in 2010, and the building is now occupied as a private residence.
Really cool to hear about that example of kind of early immigration from China there. Thank you, Gordon. What's the final heritage building in Balder?
Well, I would be remiss if I did not draw attention to the wooden grain elevator that stands in town. As longtime listeners know, I am fanatical about elevators, not only because they're seen around the world as a symbol of Prairie Canada, but also because they're fast disappearing from the landscape. One was torn down just a week ago. The specimen at Balder, it was constructed in 1927 by Manitoba Pool Elevators, making it one of the older elevators still standing in the province, and perhaps more importantly, still in use for grain storage by local farmers. So there we have it, eight wonderful heritage buildings in Balder.
Are there lessons that we can take from the fact that Balder is number one on your list of historic buildings?
Well, a conclusion that I would draw is that any community, regardless of size, can foster local pride by raising awareness of its history, if it has the will to do so. Now, I say this because in Balder, we have one of Manitoba's smaller towns with historic buildings that it has recognized through municipal heritage designation. Now, I have to say, I'm sorry to say it, but the Manitoba government is withdrawing from active involvement in heritage designation, and it's leaving this task to the discretion of municipalities. So I encourage all municipal councils around the province to work with local historians to bolster their collection of designated heritage buildings, and I'll be happy to update my list as more buildings become designated. And this is not the last word I'll say on the subject, because we will, in future episodes of Abandoned Manitoba, talk about other towns with a commendable number of heritage buildings. I do also intend to talk about communities at the other end of the list. For now, I will simply list the three most populous places with the least number of heritage buildings. They are Steinbach, Thompson, and Winkler. There are undoubtedly good reasons for the poor showing of these three places, and we'll discuss them here at some future date.
Lots more to talk about. Thank you so much, Gordon.
You're welcome.
What's up for next week?
When we think of an historic building, we generally envision something that is rectangular in outline. But this is not always the case. Next week, we're going to look at seven historic buildings in rural Manitoba that are octagonal.
Perfect. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.